Thank you, A.G. If you have your Bibles, would you open, please, to the book of Genesis. This book we have before us is a book of hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here today. We pray that thou wouldst minister to the heart of every hearer as we turn our attention to thee. We pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven, that they might come to know him even as Savior and Lord today. I pray, Father, that you would bless every believer, every Christian, that they might be encouraged and challenged afresh from thy precious word. We pray that the Lord Jesus would be lifted up and no man. We pray this in his most wonderful name. Amen. Did you ever wish that you could begin all over again? Did you ever wish you could start from the beginning? Things seem to go from bad to worse, and you somehow got it wrong. You crossed it out. You tried something else, but that didn't work either. And so you turn the pencil around and you use the end with the eraser and you just made a big smudge. And you rubbed harder and harder, and then you made a hole in your homework paper. You know the feeling. You wish you could just crumple it up and start all over again. Some people have made a mess of their homework and of their heart work and of their life work, and they wish they could start all over again. They look at their life and they wish they could somehow push a rewind button and try it one more time. Only in Hollywood can we reshoot the scene again and again until we get it right. Life is not a movie. We only get one opportunity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in our life we could be the director that shouts, yells, cut, take two, or take three, or take four, and keep on doing it until we just get it right? Well, life's not like that. And sometimes we do make a mess. And we have to work with what we have. But there is a way, and you know it, and I know it, and the church proclaims it. There is hope for anyone who will admit that they have messed up. But they have to use the right word when they say messed up. And that's the Bible or biblical word. That word is sin. And when they admit that they have sinned, then there's hope. And then we can point them to the one who can make things right. They can be born again, and then they can begin again. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of this, Jesus Christ came to this world to save us from sin and to give us a new life and a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look with me this morning at the genius of Genesis and see how a person can begin again and start all over. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters, and called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God allows us to witness his creation when he made all things. There comes a time in someone's life when they wish they could start all over again. Things seem to fall apart. Things collapse. They had high hopes, but it got messed up. You know and I know that sin ruins everything. And when we name it, when we call it what it is, that awful name, then God has a prescription for it. When we call it by some other name, we refuse the very medicine we need. And so if there's someone who recognizes that they have fallen, that they have failed, that they have sinned, then there's hope. Because this book is a story about men and women who not only have been born again, but by the grace of God have been able to begin again. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so maybe you're here this morning and something's happened in your life. And while there's no rewind button that you can press or erase button that you can push, the Bible is a book of hope, and it holds out to you the possibility of beginning all over again. How can you do that? How can I begin again? And so this morning I'd like to share with you these biblical and eternal principles of beginning again. Maybe you know someone, a friend, a relative, a neighbor, who needs to know of this hope that they can begin again. I trust that some of these principles will be applied not only in your life, but that you share them with others. How does a person begin again? Number one, begin with God. Look at it. In the beginning, God. Here's where most people go wrong. They don't start where they're supposed to begin. The Bible tells us where to begin. We are to begin in the beginning. Many people don't begin in the beginning. Many people don't begin with God. Faith knows that this is where life begins. And this is where new life begins. It begins with God. Have you ever walked into a room where people are watching a movie? Perhaps a television program? And you did not have a clue as to what was going on or what was happening. You were confused because you did not see the beginning. If you had, you would know who the fugitive is. You would know why he is running. You would know why they were looking for a one-armed man. You would know who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. You would make some sense of it if you had only seen the beginning. But because you came in too late, because you came in after it already started, you were at a loss. Many people go through life without starting in the beginning, and they don't know what life is about. They don't know why they're here. They don't know how they got here. They don't know what they're supposed to do, and they don't know what's going on. Well, they need to go back to the beginning. And if they go back to the beginning, suddenly it becomes so clear. If someone picks up A Tale of Two Cities and skips the first few pages, they're not knowing what's going on. It's a confusing array of events, and they can't put it all together. But as they open that book and begin in the beginning, they learn that it's the best of times and it's the worst of times, and they put it all in perspective, and now it makes sense. Where do we begin? We're to begin with God. There are people in high places who teach our children, but they don't teach them about the beginning. they teach evolution. And they teach that the beginning is somewhere in a primeval slime or a marsh somewhere. They teach that the beginning is somewhere back in an ancient forest, or they teach that the beginning is with monkeys, and that eventually they were climbing out of their trees and developed into mankind. Others think that the beginning is a single cell, like a protozoa, or some think that the beginning is with a single soul. But it's not. The beginning must begin with God. And if you don't begin there, it won't come out right. Somebody who is an expert tile layer knows that the proper way and the best way to lay the tile is to first find the center. And if they find the center and build out from the center, then it is beautiful, and then it fits, and then it works. Those that don't start in the beginning find out when they get to the end that it didn't work out well. How do you begin? I'm here this morning to remind you that the best way to begin is to begin with God. Somebody wants to get married. Well, how do you begin? Well, you find a girl. No. You find God. If you find the girl, you didn't start in the beginning, and it might not end up very well. How do you have a good marriage? You find the right guy. No. If you begin with a guy, you're going to end up wrong. You don't begin with a guy. You begin with God. In the beginning, God. And that young person who begins with God finds out that everything is in its right place and in perspective, and then they have a beautiful home and a beautiful marriage and a beautiful family because they began in the beginning. And because they didn't begin in the beginning, it gets all messed up, and they erase it, and they smudge it, and they tear it. And come back, and their dreams are in shreds. And they say, what did I do wrong? We need to begin in the beginning. And that beginning is to begin with God. There's somebody here this morning, and you're here because of God's providence. God wants you to know that there's hope. God wants you to know that you can begin again. Ingemar, how can I begin again? Begin with God. In the beginning, God. I want to start a business. How do I do that? Well, you need a financial plan. No. You don't start with a financial plan to build a successful business. Really? You know how you do it? You begin with God. You begin with God. You come to that place and you bow on your knees before Him, and you get your vision, you get your mission, you get your marching orders from Him. You begin with God. How does a nation become a great nation? Well, the United States of America, with all of its faults, with all of its foibles, with all of its follies, attempted to begin in the beginning, to begin with God. That's where we begin. How can I begin again? Well, go back to the beginning and begin with God. That's where you must begin. A home, a marriage, a business, a family, begin with God. Let me ask you, how do you begin your day? How do you begin your day? Can I make a suggestion? Begin with God. Begin with God. In the beginning, some people say, no, at the end of the day when I'm tired, and just before I go to bed, I get myself a cup of tea. No. If you want to say goodnight to God with a cup of tea, that's wonderful. but we need to begin in the beginning. How can I make sure that I begin the day right? How can I make sure that before I go out into the world that I am armored, I am equipped, I am prepared for whatever might happen? How can I do that? Begin with God. God is first. How can I begin my week to make sure it's going to be a good week? Same way. Begin in the beginning. First day of the week is the Lord's day. Begin with God. It's a simple principle, but so many have messed up just because of that. They didn't start in the beginning. I challenge you. I encourage you. I implore you. If this is you, go back. Go back to the beginning and begin again. Begin with God. Number two, read God's Word. Take a look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, nothing happened until God said something. Nothing happened until God's Word. Before God's Word, there's without form. There's void. There's darkness on the face of the deep. Nothing happened. There was no creation. There's going to be no new creation until God says so. Read God's Word. And God said. The Apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Those who have experienced the new birth, which is a new beginning, understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It was God's Word that brought the world into existence. If I am to begin with God, where do I find Him? We find Him in His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The devil does not want you to open this book. The devil wants to keep you away from this book. Determine in your heart of hearts that you are going to meet with God every single day, that God is going to be first. You're going to begin with God, and you're going to begin with God's Word. You're going to open the Word because that's where you find Him. Each and every day. Can I challenge you to make a vow to God? To look for Him first thing every day. And look for Him in His Word. Now there's somebody here, they've messed up their life with sin. And God's Word to you is that there's hope. You can begin again. But this time, begin with me. There's somebody else here who's trusted Christ many, many years ago. But your faith, your zeal, your enthusiasm has somehow waned and worn thin. And I would challenge you to think that when you were new, brand new, in Christ, when Christ first introduced Himself to you, that nothing could keep you away from this book. You read it, you absorbed it, you memorized it, you studied it, you shared it. Read God's Word again. First thing every day. How can a person begin again? Number one, begin with God. Number two, read God's Word. Number three, pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. Take a look at verse 3 again. And God said, let there be light. Light. Call it what you will. Illumination, insight, guidance, whatever. Pray for light. Turn from darkness and pray for light. John chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "What communion hath light with darkness?" The answer, of course, is none. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul describes his mission in this world. It's to preach the gospel, which will open people's eyes and turn them from darkness to light. How can a person start all over again? His marriage has crumbled. His family has failed. He finds himself in a pile of rubble and ruin. Well, number one, begin with God. Where do I find him? Open God's word. Number three, pray for guidance. Ask God to give you light. Some people won't pray for guidance and won't ask for light because they don't like what they might see. One of the things about this book is not only does it show us God, it shows us ourselves. It's a mirror. And sometimes we're ashamed at what looks back at us. We see ourselves just as we are. Pray for light. When we were in New York City ministering some years ago, we would visit in some of the tenements, in some of the ghettos. You'd go into some apartments sometimes with people and they would turn on the light and we'd see a million cockroaches scamper to the corners and try to find the cover of darkness. The cockroaches didn't like the light. We, of course, don't like the cockroaches. But sometimes when we turn the light on, we see things we don't like to see. Sometimes when we open this book, we see some spiritual cockroaches running around in our lives, and they need to be dealt with. God wants us to be new creatures and new creations in Christ. When God turns on the light, suddenly we see things as they really are. And let me remind you, God will not work in the dark. Somebody says, "Well, God's not working in my life." You need to turn on the light. Open up this book. Ask God to show you. Ask God to illuminate you. Ask God to lead you. Number four, look up. Look up. Verse 6 through 8. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven." On the second day, God made the heavens. Determined to set your heart on things above, look up. God called the firmament heaven. If you're looking around, you're looking too low. You need to look up. You need to look up. You need a greater vision, a higher vision, a holier vision, a purer vision, determined that you will look up. Find a place to worship, like this place, and enlarge your spiritual vision and enlarge your life. Look up. Turn your eyes to heaven. There's somebody out there today who's looking down. And the message of the church is a church of hope, and we want to point them to the God of heaven. They need to look up. Look up. Number five, stand up. Stand up. Take a look at verses 9 and 10. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." People who have failed in life and people who find themselves in ruin need to have something to stand on. And on the third day of creation, God made something for man to stand on. He made a thing called, verse 10, earth. Something solid, something secure, something firm, something to stand on. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus tells the story of two men. One builds his house upon the sand, one builds his house upon the rock. The one who builds his house upon the sand finds out when the storm comes, it does not hold the house. But the one who builds his house upon the rock stands in the day of trouble. That home, that dream, that ambition, that marriage, that thing that crumbled, is something that was built on the wrong foundation. The Bible tells us that we need to build our lives upon the solid rock, to build our lives on the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "The foundation of God standeth sure." Build your life on eternal principles that will not fail. God's eternal word. Number 6. Use what God has given you. Take a look at verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed, etc." I want you now to look around and see that around this creation, this new creation that God has made, is everything that man needs to survive and everything that man needs to live. Use what God has given you. On the third day, God commanded, bring forth. Psalm 104 and verse 14, the Bible says that God made the herbs of the earth for the service of man. In other words, God has filled your life with everything you need to succeed. He's filled your life with everything you need for success. Paul put it this way, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Don't worry about what you don't have anymore. Look around for what you do have, and my Bible says that God will provide everything that you need. Number 7. Dedicate your time to God. Verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights of the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." Well, you live in the middle of a large clock. I live in the middle of a large clock. And the gears of the clock are all around us. The moon marking the days, and the sun marking the days, and the moon marking the months as it travels through space reminds us that time is a gift. And we must dedicate our days to God. 6 days shalt thou labor. The seventh day, remember the Lord. We gather on each Lord's day to remember him. Make God the God of your time. Number 8, find your element, verse 20. "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Find your element. On the fifth day, God made fish and God made fowl. And they're different. God made you different. He gave the fish gills and he gave the fowl wings. God has given you gifts. And you need to discover the gift that God has given you. Discover your element. And be what God has made you and intended you to be. A fish should swim, and a bird should fly. And you should do something, depending on the gift that God gave you. Find your place, find God's will, and then do it. Find your element. Number 9. Live in the likeness. Verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." On the sixth day, God made animals and God made man. But God made man in the likeness of God. Man is different than an animal. An animal has instinct. Man has a capacity to laugh, to love, to reason. Man has an ability to choose, to change, and to take charge of his dominion. Every day, we can choose to either live like an animal or like a child of God that God has meant us to be. Now, we read the newspapers, we read about people who have decided to live like an animal, and the consequences of that are severe. God has called us to be a new creation. He's made us in His own likeness, and He calls us to live to a higher calling. And number 10, we see that it was good. Take a look at verse 10. And God called the day, called the dry land earth, and gathered together in the waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12. And God saw that it was good. Verse 18. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25. And God saw that it was good. I want you to notice something here. When God is allowed to be God, it is always good. Each day, God did good. Why am I alive? Why am I here? Why am I breathing? Why am I taking up space? Why did God give me life in the first place? I want you to look at life every single day when God is at work. And at the end of each day, God's able to step back and pronounce, it is good. You want to have a good life? You want to have a good week? You want to have a good day? You want to have a good marriage? Let God be God. And you'll be able to step back and say, pronounce with the Holy Spirit who wrote Genesis chapter 1. And it was good. And then we see that God made man, verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. If you need to begin again, where can you begin? Begin with God. And if you do, and turn over your life to Him and let God be God, you'll be able to step back and say, it is good. What messed the world up? Sin. And so 2,000 years ago, the Lord of glory sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to die on an old rugged cross to pay for all of your sins so that you can be a partaker of God's special plan, not only to live life here, but to live life with Him forever. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's nobody who's breathing who's without hope. Because the Bible says that you can begin again. And the only way to begin again is to be born again. And then step back and witness a new creation in you. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you've experienced some failure. Don't despair. Go back to the beginning and begin again with God. And then watch what God can do with you. Father, thank you for the creation. Thank you for the new creation. I pray that we might begin again in faith and in worship, allowing God to be God in us. I pray that we would carry the message of hope to a world that they can begin again if they will begin with you. Help this assembly, help us to begin again with the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to proclaim the message of salvation to those that need it. If there's someone here this morning who is outside of Christ, may they come to Him, admit and confess their sin, allow you to come into their heart and life. They would be born again, and they would begin again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.